about his friend and wishing people well and wishing them and saying, oh, keep warm, don't forget to eat well. Although you've got no food, I'm taking my food off to church. No, that's false faith. A little boy was selling newspapers on a windy street in Chicago. We're talking about the Victorian era. People were going in and out of their houses to get out of the freezing cold and the wind, and they didn't really notice him, but he was noticed by one man, and that man said, you know, if you need to get inside and get a warm meal and get looked after, you need to go over to that house over there, and when they open the door, just say to them, John 3:16. And he went over to the house and banged on the door, and they opened the door and they invited him in. And he said, John 3:16. And so the boy was brought into the house, the lady took him in, and she sat him on a rocking chair in front of the fireplace. And then she went off to the kitchen. And the boy was sitting there for a while, and he said, I don't know what John 3:16 means, but it doesn't have to make you warm. And then a little bit later, the lady came back and said, are you hungry? And he said, well, yeah, I haven't eaten for a while. And so she brought him to the table, and she gave him some food, a warming stew. And he sat and he ate, and he thought how wonderful it was. And he sat there thinking to himself, oh, I don't know what John 3:16 means, but it does not fill you up with really nice foods. She took him up to the bathroom and said, would you like to have a bath? And he said, I've never had a bath before, in a proper bath. So she ran him a warm bath and put bubbles in it, and he jumped in and he had a nice bath. And he said, I don't know what John 3:16 means, but it doesn't half make it clean. And this went on for a little while until the following morning, the lady came down and spoke to him, and she said to him, do you understand John 3:16? He said, no, I've never heard of John 3:16 before that man told me to say it to you yesterday. But I do know this about John 3:16, it makes you warm, and it fills you up, and it makes you clean. And she was able to explain to him that John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he acted, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. You can't love, you can't have faith, you can't believe in something without producing works. They just go together. The great theologian John Calvin wrote, it is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone. It is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone. There's another kind of faith, Tom. This one is demonic faith. Demonic faith, oh, what a big shock James produced for his hearers in that. It's chapter 2, verses 18 to 19. It does come as a bit of a shock for people to learn that demons have faith. What do demons believe? Well, they certainly believe in the existence of God. They're not atheists, they're not agnostic. They know for sure there is a God. They also believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that Jesus is God himself. Whenever demons met Jesus in the New Testament, they would say things like, they said in Mark 3, verses 11 to 12, it says, whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, you are the Son of God. They recognized Jesus. And he told them, don't tell anyone. It's too soon for people to know. Demons believe in the existence of a place of punishment. Lake of fire, the abyss, whatever they call it in different places. In Luke 8, it says the demons begged Jesus repeatedly not to send them to the abyss. They know about that. They believe in that. They recognize the authority of Jesus. You remember the Gadarene demoniac? The one when Jesus came over from Gadara and he was running around like a crazy man, and the demons shouted, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? And that's the one that Jesus cast out. They obeyed his authority, and he sent them into pigs, into that herd of pigs. The Jewish believers that James was writing to would have said every single day, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. They said it every single day. James came along and said, "You know, or you believe that there is one God, because you say it every single day." But then he went on and he said, "That's great. Keep on saying it. Fantastic. But even the demons believe that much. And they shudder and they tremble." You see, when we're thinking about dead faith, we're thinking about a faith that is only in the brain. It's only in the intellect. When we think about demonic faith, that is the kind of faith that demons have, that's a very emotional faith. They know, demons know stuff, and they get all upset about it. Not surprising. Do you remember Carmen? I showed you that video of Carmen at the witch's invitation some time ago. You may not remember. But Carmen said, the thing to do when the enemy is attacking you is and reminding you about your past is to say, "Don't worry about my past, but remember your future." Because demons know where they're destined for. But James said, "Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." Because faith is not, it's not something that we just have emotionally on the inside. Demons have emotional faith. I'm scared. I know where I'm going. I'm scared. We need to have faith that's not only intellectual, not only emotional, but faith that has a product, that has an expression, that determines, that inspires the things that we do. So how can a person show faith without works? Well, can a dead person perform good works? Nope, it's impossible. When you trust Christ, you are created in Christ unto good works, which God has ordained beforehand that we should walk in. Do you know what that means? In Ephesians 2 verse 10 is the verse. It means that before the foundation of the world, God said, "Anna, you need to do these good works. Kate, you need to do these good works. Dave, you need to do these good works." Every one of us. God has ordained for us a pattern of action that is going to be the product of our faith. He's got it all planned. He knows all the things that we can do individually. How can we live out our faith? He's got it planned. All we need to do is step up and walk in those plans that God has for us. And he'll show you. He'll guide you into them. The third kind of faith is, there you go, dynamic faith. This is the one that we need to have. Dynamic faith is faith that is real. Faith that has power. Faith that results in a changed life. James described this true saving faith through a couple of examples. Rahab and Abraham, or Abraham first and then Rahab. He talked about Abraham going and sacrificing Isaac. And he talked about Rahab saving those spies from the destruction at Jericho. Not really two people that you would expect to find in the same sentence. Abraham, the friend of God, the great patriarch, you know, the father of many nations, and Rahab, the prostitute from Jericho. Not two people, not natural companions. Abraham was Jewish, Rahab was a Gentile. Abraham was a godly man, Rahab was a sinful woman, a harlot. Ahab was a friend of God. Rahab belonged to the enemies of God. You can compare them in all sorts of ways. There's nothing in common. But what they did have in common is that they both exercised saving faith in God. They both exercised saving faith in God. Dynamic faith, you see, is not only intellectual contemplation, it's not only emotional consternation, but it is a faith that produces obedience to the Word of God. So that when we read the Word of God, we look at it and we say, yeah, I need to do that. Yeah, I need to change that. Yeah, I need to stop doing this or stop doing that. It's faith that produces change and action. Not action for the sake of it, not works as the basis of salvation, but faith that has a fruit, like a tree that has a fruit. Dynamic faith produces obedience, and it's obedience that is not an isolated event, not one single event, but it's an obedience that continues throughout our whole lives. A faith and an obedience which produces godly action, godly works. D.L. Moody used to say, every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. Every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. D.L. Moody was a great evangelist, if you don't know him. He didn't say that because he was a shoe salesman, which he was. He said it because he was a dedicated Christian with a dynamic faith that wanted to obey God and demonstrate itself, show itself, prove itself in his daily life and in his words. So my final question to you today, to take away with you this week, is the question, what in the world are you doing? What in the world are you doing? Is your faith producing godly works? Or are you trying to work for salvation? Because nothing you ever do is going to be enough. There's nothing that we can do, no work, no action that we can do that will produce salvation for us. But when we have faith, true faith, dynamic faith, faith that trusts God, faith that is based on the Word of God, that kind of faith will produce works. You heard the expression, getting the cart before the horse? If you're trying to work for salvation, you're putting the cart at the front and the horse is at the back. But if you are believing first, then you're putting the horse at the front and the cart follows along naturally behind. Faith will pull the cart, but works will never produce faith. A cart will never pull the horse. Get it the right way around. Think about what you're doing. What does your believing lead to? Does it lead to anything? If it doesn't, maybe it's time to make a change. Believing in God and his word first, and let everything else follow.